dumb creeps thrive
on the Lone Highway.
Pretty girls beware
out on the Lone Highway. On the Lone Highway. Little honey on the Lone Highway. Left me for another on the Lone Highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the Lone Highway. On the Lone Highway. On the Lone Highway. On the Lone Highway.
Strange drifters hitchhike on the Lone Highway. Cheap motels and beer
on the Lone Highway.
Don't trust anyone.
Okay.
On the Lone Highway.
We are back here on the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. Here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And I would just like to take this opportunity to please ask everyone to do what you can to keep this station on the air. Free speech really is under attack, and that's not a fantasy. It's happening in real time. So that makes places like this all the more valuable. And as they say, there ain't no free lunch. So please step up and hit it out of the park for us, so to speak. We got to keep the station going, guys, because there's nothing else like this where you can just speak your mind and no one tells anybody what they can say and what they can't say. And that's pretty important in my book. And with that, I would like to bring on my guest, my returning guest, Mr. Mike Gatti, the man who is a walking encyclopedia of American history and beyond. Mike, are you there, sir?
I'm here, but I don't know about that other guy you talked about.
I don't know. It sounds like you're taking a shower there, Mike. Is everything okay?
Well, buddy, I got to tell you, I apologize to the listeners. I apologize to you guys. We are in the middle of a monsoon, and it does sound like I'm in the shower, but I promise you I'm not.
No, I'm just teasing you. That sounds like maybe you're washing dishes or something.
Well, let's say I'm washing dishes. My wife will like that better.
Yeah, well, you'll get some extra points there. Yeah. But, well, Mike, I want to thank you for coming on. And I don't know if you caught the first hour, but...
I did.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Chi-Com invasion? What's your take on that whole idea?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I look at with this. And, you know, having been... involved in PSYOPs and what have you in the past, you know, long past, over 40 years ago. But having been involved in this, the characteristics are still the same. You know, this Chinese invasion makes no sense in my world, because for one reason, if you eliminated the United States from the Chinese economy right now, they would drown. Because
right,
the majority of their exports come here.
Yeah, and of course, a week into the war, the Walmart shelves would go empty, Mike, and what would we possibly do at that point?
Well, that is exactly true, but you have to have, governments have to have a villain de jure. They have to have a villain to point at on a daily basis. We learned that back at the No Such Agency back in the 60s. There always has to be a villain de jure. The American public always has to be afraid of something. Well, now I think the thing that you really have out there to be afraid of is this great influx of millions of illegal immigrants. You can call them undocumented. You can call them whatever you want to. They're illegal according to U.S. law.
Yes.
So the point of it is that the federal government are aiding and abetting criminals to come into this country. It's just that simple. You know, and both parties have been involved in this for, you know, who knows how long. We know that the first president to grant them amnesty was the wonderful Ronnie Reagan, and that he set a precedent. Now, one of the things, Dave, I have wondered about many times, and you pointed out this very well in your first hour, and that is the fact that, you know, we know that we have an awful lot of illegal immigrants coming across the border who are of military age. And then we drop back to a few months ago to, you know, Senator Durbin from Illinois saying, well, we've got to get these people in uniform so they can earn their citizenship. And and then just a few days later, right after that, you've got Mark Levin. And Mark Levin tied it together. He said, we need to go back to the principles of Abraham Lincoln, because he brought the aliens and put them into uniform so that they could defeat the South.
Wow. And, of course, Mark Levin does his broadcast with a picture of Abraham Lincoln right behind him every single day.
Well, naturally. And the point of it is without the illegal alien influx, many of them who were generals in Lincoln's army, without them, they would have never defeated the South. It's really that simple.
Wow.
So it's, when you look at the fact that Lincoln was elected, very possibly with an illegal alien vote, somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 400,000 voted for him, and if they voted for him, they were promised citizenship.
Oh, wow. There's nothing new under the sun, is there, Mike?
No. It's like, you know, this is the thing that they taught us at the No Such Agency, and that was look at patterns. If you look at the patterns will always predict in great percentages of the times. They will show you what's about to happen if you are aware of patterns. Well, we're looking at the same pattern here. And as I look at this, and later on tonight, Dave, you're going to be able to join us on the Rebel and the Renegade, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, buddy. Well, tonight from 9 to 11, folks, if you will, Eastern time, if you will tune in, I'm going to, I have created a PSYOP that will deal with the conditions that we're looking at today and looking at the possible creation of a PSYOP and how it might work. And the more I look at it, the more I see these things, the more they fit an age-old pattern. Mm-hmm. We're seeing so many things here that fit right into the scenario of, you know, we can go back to 1860. Guys, we can go back 300-400 years. These scenarios keep working for government, so they keep using them.
Right. That's very true, Mike. I want to touch upon a couple of things you said. You know, you were talking about the Border Patrol and this idea of amnesty and the government being firmly behind it. And, you know, it's funny. I went through a Border Patrol checkpoint the other day, and, you know, it's all official looking. All cars must stop. And you're not going to believe this, Mike, but inside the booth, they just had a green light that said, you know, go. A sign said, go, go, go. And inside the booth, like, there was a mannequin dressed up with a Border Patrol uniform on and like a cowboy hat, but the windows were tinted, so you weren't supposed to notice. But I'm telling you, there was a mannequin inside the checkpoint, Mike. I mean, is that symbolic or what?
Oh, very much so, Dave. And I'll never forget, you know, I was one of the leaders of the Minuteman Project in 2005 down on the border in Arizona. And I remember so many times talking with these boots on the ground Border Patrol agents. These were pretty decent folks. You know, and I liked a lot of them. And they, you know, a lot of people are unaware that even though George W. Bush called us vigilantes and the Border Patrol hierarchy in Tucson said we should go home and leave it up to them and all this other stuff, the guys out there in the Border Patrol who were actually doing the job, when we left at the end of April in 2005, these Border Patrol agents took out a full page ad in the Sierra Vista newspaper. I'm talking about a full page thanking us for coming to help them.
Wow.
And I'll never forget. I've still got the newspaper. I've still got two or three copies of it. I bought it up because I knew I wanted to pass it along to my kids and grandkids. But the thing of it was, is we had Border Patrol agents tell us, the boots on the ground guys, not administration, but we had boots on the ground people tell us that every time they found what they called a hot corridor or a hot trail that the illegals were using, he said shortly after they would find it and file their reports, the command and control in Tucson would tell them, oh, move away from there. We need you over here.
That's really interesting because, you know, I've heard similar stories from guys in Vietnam. As soon as they caught on to the right place to attack, the command and control would tell them, no, back off, go over here, don't do that.
Well, you know, Dave, that is a good subject. I hope you don't mind if I jump the traces here a little bit.
Well, absolutely,
but
Mike.
Here's one of the things that has never made sense to me. And this is very simply. If you take the military might of the American military, Vietnam should have lasted about 3 days. But
that's true. Yes.
How many people know that it was against policy and no one could bomb or no one could attack any of the ships that were coming into Haiphong Harbor, which were resupplying the North Vietnamese Army?
Wow.
It was off limits. You couldn't attack them. So the whole thing was to stretch the war out as far as possible, because the longer a war lasts, you know, we're looking at the same thing. If we truly wanted, when we went into Afghanistan in 2001 after 9/11, if we had really wanted to stop that, it would have taken about a week. If we would have wanted to stop the Iraq war, it would have taken, you know, very short time. If they would have followed, if Donald Rumsfeld would have allowed Lieutenant General Anthony Zinni of the Marines there, if they would have allowed him to the program that he presented for going into Iraq, Iraq would have been over in a couple of days. The military might. And also, oh, I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead, buddy.
No, I just want to add one quick thing that, you know, a lot of people don't realize what an agrarian country and what a backwards country Vietnam was back in the 60s. The idea that Vietnam is going to actually make America not able to win a war is so blatantly absurd. It's incredible. And, you know, your concept of prolonging the war, I see this, what's happening in Russia and Ukraine right now. Like, to me, I never understood why, if Vladimir Putin was really serious about what he claims, why didn't he take out all or most of the Ukrainian military bases when Russia had absolute air superiority, 100%? You know, because Russia built most of those bases, so they have actual blueprints of the bases. They know exactly where they are, what to bomb, what not to bomb. Why didn't they do that? And it goes back to what you said. They want to prolong the war as long as possible.
Well, I'll never forget, Dave, and I'm not sure if he said it tongue-in-cheek or what, but Air Force General Curtis LeMay said in 1965, if they will give me B-52s, I don't need any ordnance. Just give me all the bowling balls I can handle. I'll stop this war in a week.
Wow.
So, obviously, the thing that Americans have to understand is the government does not want wars to end. Wars accomplish too much of a great purpose for the government. Number one is the people will allow the government much more latitude during a war than they would ever allow it during peacetime. And that is an advantage to the government. The other advantage to the government is the fact that wars are a constant source of debt accumulation. And debt accumulation doesn't profit the people. You know, to say that we've been at war in the Middle East since 2001, for 23 years, we can't beat a bunch of towel heads with AK-47s and RPGs with all of the weapons that we've got. This is just absolute insanity.
Yeah, it really is, Mike. And, of course, war is the greatest transformational tool in terms of societal changes and changes within the government. You know, Zelensky has transformed Ukraine during this war. He banned all of the sort of newspapers and media sources that contradicted his narrative. And, you know, even that guy from Chile that died in a Ukrainian prison that was an American and a Chilean. I don't remember his name offhand. He actually died in a Ukrainian prison. He was just like a guy doing YouTube videos that had quite a good following. So it all fits into what you're saying, Mike.
Oh, big time. And, you know, of all of the things, you know, that I'm looking for it now, Dave, I've got it here somewhere. But the one thing that we have to know is that even James Madison, way back when, he said that war is the major way by which the executive offices increases its power, its patronage, and its taxing power.
Mm, yes.
And he said that during war, the people concede authority to the command, you know, the commander-in-chief. They say, okay, well, we've got to turn this over. Randolph Bourne, in his great work, too bad he passed away before he finished it. But in 1917, 1918, we're talking about over 100 years ago now, Randolph Bourne wrote a beautiful thesis called War's a Racket. No, that was Smedley Darlington Butler.
Smedley Butler, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Randolph Bourne did War is the Health of the State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, if you can still find it on the internet. You know, if you find it, please download it, because things are disappearing on the internet very quickly. But War is the Health of the State exactly will tell you what this government is doing and why. Now, here's the thing, I think, and we'll really touch on this later tonight, Dave, but the government is allowing all of these illegals into the country, even paying them to come here for one reason, No, go ahead, buddy.
Giving them a stipend to help them, you know, go through the trouble of moving, and you know, they're actually giving these people a stipend and even free housing. It's incredible.
Well, let's not forget in the '90s, George H.W. Bush actually brought in members of the Republican Guard from Iraq after that first Desert Storm war. Brought in the Republican Guard, which was supposed to be Saddam's meanest military. And, Dave, where did he locate them?
Where?
Oklahoma City.
Oh.
And what happened in Oklahoma City?
That's very interesting, Mike, because, you know, in Oklahoma City, there was a John Doe number 2 that was described by eyewitnesses as being of Arab descent that was involved with Timothy McVeigh. That's very interesting.
Oh, it is. And then shortly after that, and here's the thing that has never made sense, and it really baffles me that Americans are so entertained they can't think.
Yeah.
Now, here's the theory. Timothy McVeigh blows up the Mura building, and then he jumps in a car that has no license tags, and
right.
He gets out on Interstate 40 and drives 90 miles an hour. Now, in whose world does that make any sense? Because, you know, number one, a car with no license tags is going to draw immediate attention. All right, here we go. Music time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you bring up a great point. And I want to tell you what my close family member said about OKC, Oklahoma City, who was a underwater demolition team member. He was an expert on explosives.
Great.
Okay, everyone stay tuned.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here on the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC, I am your host, Dave Scorpio, and I'm talking with Mr. Mike Gatti. And before the break, we were just talking about Oklahoma City and the absurdity of the official story that Timothy McVeigh allegedly blew up the World Trade Center and then gets in a car with no license plate and takes off on I-40 going 90 miles an hour. This sounds a lot like the story about Hamas opening up the Israeli border with a tractor and driving in 100 cars and trucks and motorcycles and nobody noticing, and then taking all these hostages. But anyway, back to Oklahoma City. Mike, I just want to tell you briefly, you know, on the day of Oklahoma City, I was actually with my my uncle. And he was the family member that kind of got me involved in a lot of this kind of knowledge. He was a former underwater demolition team member in Korea. And his job was to actually, he worked on submarines and would launch from a submarine underwater and then go on to targets and plant bombs on enemy ships. That's one of the main things he did. And he told me when Oklahoma City happened, he said, Dave, there's no way that bomb did the damage to that building. It's impossible, absolutely impossible, because number one, the explosives used, a fertilizer bomb is the most inefficient kind of bomb you can possibly use, and there would have been fertilizer spewed everywhere as a result of that bomb. And secondly, it would not have been able to, you know, actually eviscerate the cement columns and destroy so much of the building. It's impossible, because to have an explosive really work, you have to put it against something and have nowhere for the explosion to go. That's how you do the maximum destruction. The idea that you did that with a moving truck outside the building is absurd. So, Mike, what's your take on that?
Well, Dave, he was spot on. Have you ever heard of an Air Force general? I think he's passed away now. His name was General Benjamin Parton.
No, I have not.
Okay, General Benjamin Parton he had like 3 PhDs. And he was the bomb damage assessment expert for the Air Force for, you know, a couple of decades. And I was fortunate enough to hear him give a presentation in Tucson. And, you know, I love the guy. He spoke in a monotone, which got a little bit hard to listen to. But the thing of it was, is he had all these charts. And he told this story about Oklahoma City. He said he was in Kansas City the day that Oklahoma City, the bombing took place at the Mura building. He said he went immediately to a seismographic center, and he asked the seismographic folks, what do you have? What do you have on a reading? And they said, oh, we've got 3 separate and distinct explosions. And so General Benjamin Parton immediately called the FBI, and he said, look, he told him who he was, he told him about his credentials, and he said, I'll get on a plane, I'll be in Oklahoma City within a couple of hours, I will render whatever assistance you need. And the FBI told him, no thanks, forget it. So wow. Here is, and then he did a couple of programs that used to be on YouTube. I'm not sure they're there anymore. But he showed exactly what you were talking about, what your uncle told you. He was talking about the exact same thing. He said that ammonium nitrate is one of the poorest explosives that you can ever have. And he said it would have taken 4 to 5 truckloads of ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel to have accomplished what they claimed happened with one. And then he showed some rather intriguing photographs in the presentation that he gave. And he said, look, here's where the truck sat. He said, now, look at this. He said the truck did not have enough explosives in it to actually create a huge crater. He said, which if you can blow down a building where the it's an omnidirectional, as you mentioned, an omnidirectional yes. explosive. And he says it goes in all directions at the same time. If it's not grounded against something, a barrier, it goes in all directions. And he pointed out that the axle of the U-Haul truck was just blown a little bit down the road. It was still intact. And the crater was a very small crater where the truck was sitting. And the trees across the road were not even damaged.
Wow.
Oh, is that okay, music well, or is that me?
Yes. No, we're at the final break here, Mike. So we're going to have a full half hour afterwards. So everyone,
all right,
stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I guess you could say the theme of tonight's show might be fantasy stories not based in reality. That's where I started the show, with a Chi-Com invasion. And we're still kind of on that topic in an indirect way with Oklahoma City. This is a fantastical tale, not based in reality. It doesn't match the laws of physics or any kind of rational behavior that's believable. So, Mike, why don't you continue and finish up your thoughts on Oklahoma City?
Well, the whole thing was a complete farce. I mean, you know, we ended up with a police officer who was the first responder. He was the first guy there. I wish I could remember his name right now. I apologize for that. But Terrence Yakey, that's it. You know, was a black man. He was the first police officer on site. He had been writing a lady a ticket just a block or two away. He was actually listed on Life magazine, you know, as one of the heroes, because he went into the mess. He got some people, carried some people out, helped some people come out. He was considered a hero, got an award for it. But he would not shut up that this, what they were saying, was not true. What he saw when he got there was not the official story. So Terrence Yakey, a couple of years later, you know, after he had told his mother, you know, I'm being followed, I am being pursued, you know, I don't know what's going on, but anyway, I'm going to let all of this out. I'm going to tell people what I actually saw. Well, you know, that day, that night, he was actually found in a field where he had, first of all, he had sat in his car and slashed his wrist, and there was blood everywhere in the car. But then after he had slashed his wrist and, in effect, by the amount of blood, had actually bled out, he then got out of his car, walked about a half a mile, and shot himself in the head. The only problem was when the cops got there, there was no gun there.
Ah, wow.
But it's all been forgotten. It's, you know, they don't talk about these things, and it made no sense whatsoever. And then, you know, when you have a bomb damage assessment expert with all of the knowledge and everything that General Benjamin Parton had, you know, why would the FBI tell a man with that kind of authority, with that kind of knowledge about bombs and what have you, why would they tell him, no, we don't need you?
Yeah, there's only one reason, because they don't want the investigation to go anywhere. And, you know, you made a good point earlier that a lot of the people, like, in the Border Patrol, boots on the ground, they're good people. I dealt with someone today that was a ex-military guy, really good guy. And, you know, you could probably say the same thing for the FBI, at least the lower-level people. At least those people are probably true believers. But, you know, I honestly believe that the FBI has been deeply corrupt since its very inception. And even the reason that it was created, I think, is a little sketchy. All these super criminals that were on the loose in the 1930s. I'm not sure if I buy all of that. I think that's a topic that should be looked into deeper. But we know for sure that J. Edgar Hoover was a homosexual. His lover, Clyde Tolson, lived across the street from him for like 30 years, you know, just by chance. You know, so we know that this guy was blackmailable, and he was blackmailed by the mafia. There's even, you know, footage of him saying, J. Edgar Hoover saying, there's no such thing as the mafia. That doesn't exist. It's just a conspiracy theory. It's not real. So he was obviously blackmailed, and the story is that he was blackmailed, you know, in compromising positions with other men, let's say. And so, given the fact that the beginning of this organization was so corrupt, and this guy had files on everybody, I think he was director for almost 40 years. And so when you have a rotten fruit like that from the beginning, I don't see how it was ever like this honorable, wonderful thing. And now we know for sure the FBI is just deeply corrupt, you know, specializing in setting people up and covering up crimes.
Yeah, well, you know, that was... You know, really amazing that, you know, that we create a huge federal agency all of these years ago, and we decide that the best guy to head it is a cross-dressing transvestite.
Stop the hate, Mike.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. You know, no, I'm not. You know, and the thing of it was you touched on something that most people are unaware of. One of the first things that he did was to go out and to compile dossiers on every member of Congress.
Yes.
And he had all of the, and if he went in and he wanted something from Congress and a congressman would oppose it, he would say, well, would you like for me to send these pictures to your wife? I mean, it was that simple. And,
right.
You know, I think, Dave, one of the hardest things for people to understand, it took me quite a while to understand this, but there is no such thing as an honest government. There never has been. There never will be. Governments by themselves are doing exactly what they are programmed to do. And in working on my recent Substacks on guns and how the government takes guns and how they're going to take ours, come to take ours, and this Substack that I'm working on, I point out, you know, that, guys, I'm looking at 500 years of history here. I'm looking at 500 years of patterns. And we see the same thing happen over and over and over again. And I still can't help but think about old Dandy Don Meredith back in the 60s on Monday Night Football when they talked about the Green Bay Packers and their vaunted wide sweep that they ran. And I think it was Howard Cosell who asked Dandy Don, he said, well, why do they keep running that? And Dandy Don says, because it keeps working. And, you know, that is the whole point. I don't think people understand. The government is going to keep doing all of these corrupt things until the people have enough brains to catch on to what's happening. And I'm not sure that's ever going to happen.
Well, Mike, I think you're onto something with this idea of governments being, let's say, unsustainable. I think it really comes down to the nature of man. When you put a man in power for enough time, he will become corrupt. I don't care how virtuous and good you were at the beginning. Over time, the power and all the temptations presented to you will corrupt you. I think that's just part of the human nature and the human experience. I don't think there's any way around that.
Well, Lord Acton addressed that so very, very well when he said power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, you know, early in his life, I think from 18 to about 23, Thomas Jefferson was on to this big time. Of course, yes. when he got to be president in 1800, he fell victim to the Lord Acton virus. But prior to that, he made some very, very valid points. And he said that we must have constant rotation in government for two reasons. Number one is exactly what you just alluded to, Dave. If you allow someone to stay in one position too long, they will become corrupt. It's just human nature. It's what's going to happen to them. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it's real simple. And he said that the only way that he thought very early on, now this is 1774, 1775, the only way you could build a proper government was to have constant rotation, that no one could serve in any government position, either elected or appointed, for over a year.
Wow.
And he said then they should go back into society, they should go back into what they were doing. And he had a phrase, Dave, which really has struck me so many times. He said if we had constant rotation in public office, then we could tap on the genius of the community. And that's pretty profound.
Yeah, it is. It really is, yeah. And the idea that people would have to go back to the community they came from and deal with the people that they were supposedly governing over, that leaves a lot of accountability in real life, in real time, that is unavoidable. And right now we have the exact opposite. These people are unaccountable because they live in a bubble. They live in the ivory towers. They live in the palaces of Washington, D.C., and they become disconnected from flyover country, as they call it.
Right. Well, you know, here's the thing, Dave, and I brought this up to someone the other day. If you want to just absolutely look at how absolutely asinine, I didn't want to call them morons, but they are, the great majority of Americans. I mean, look at this. How can someone have such allegiance to a political figure they've never met in their life, they've never talked to, they have no idea what they truly stand for? All they know is what they see on TV, and they develop this passion for that person that exceeds even their own family. My candidate, and they've never met him, they've never talked to him, they have no idea what they are truly like, but they make all of their decisions based on what they see on the TV or what they read in the media. Okay, well, you know, I told someone back in 2016, and he still reminds me of it today, and he's in his 90s. When I told him in 2016, I said, I'll tell you what, I could run my dog for president if I could just get Hillary to say it was a nasty dog, and my dog would be elected.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and, you know, the cult around Donald Trump is unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. I think Ronald Reagan would be the closest thing to it. But even Reagan doesn't hold a candle to the devotion and the lack of, I would just say, logic or a accountability to the people that are the true believers of Donald Trump. And, you know, I was talking to Daryl. I think you know him, don't you? Mr. Daryl Wayne.
You mean that crazy airline jockey?
I think so.
That's him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he made an observation about Trump because we were talking, and, you know, I said, well, you know, it's amazing the caliber of people that fall into the Trump train. Like, there's some very successful and otherwise intelligent people, because I've met them in real life, so I see these people. And I said, well, how did they do this? And Daryl, his idea was that essentially that Trump is a mirror. So Trump is the, you know, personification of the successful businessman, the tycoon, and these people want to see themselves through that lens. I thought that was at least a partial explanation for this cult of Trump.
Well, Dave, I mean, you know, if you want to look at the complete insanity of it, and this is what has always just absolutely floored me, and that is the fact that in 2016 at a church, a black church in Detroit, Donald Trump said, I am the nominee of the party of Abraham Lincoln, the greatest honor of my entire life. And great Abraham Lincoln. And if elected, I will bring this country back to the legacy of Abraham Lincoln. And you've got a man who says that, and we've got millions of people in the South who would die for this man. Now, how in the Dickens will that ever make any sense? Abraham Lincoln killed your ancestors, but now you would support a man who wants to bring back his legacy.
And he subjugated. He killed many people, and he subjugated the survivors as well.
Yes. Yeah. He wasn't alive by then. Back then, because
yeah, fortunately. Yeah.
Well. I'm not sure, yes. Dave. I'm not sure. The record shows, if you go into the deep dive into the records, you know, he contacted a judge in Virginia. I'm trying to think of his name. He was on the Virginia Supreme Court until Virginia seceded. Then he resigned his position. But Abraham Lincoln knew him. And so after Richmond fell in 1865, early 1865, Lincoln actually made a visit to Richmond. And he was accompanied, you know, by a lot of military, you know, for sure. But he went down to look at Richmond. Then he comes back. Then he calls telegraphs the good general, I mean the good judge, and he says, look, what I want to do from this point on, evidently he was really affected by what he saw in Richmond. He even mentioned that he saw children chasing rats for food in one of his communiques. And he was really touched. Now, you have to remember, he had just recently lost a son. So maybe that affected his thought pattern, but what have you. But he contacted the judge and said, look, I want to meet with you, and let's figure out how we can bring back the southern states as if they had never left. Well, the people in power at that time could not allow that to happen. They could not allow it to be brought back. I mean, stop and think about the Johnny Horton song, you know, Johnny Reb. And this is true. Yeah. That when they actually were having Lee had surrendered at Appomattox, they had a huge celebration in Washington, D.C., and the bands were playing, and they went to the White House, and Lincoln comes out on one of the balconies, and the band says, what song would you like for us to play for you, Mr. President? And he said, let's play Dixie. Well, that pretty well signed his death certificate, and shortly after, Lincoln was executed by his own cabinet, because the Marxists that were controlling the legislature, especially the Senate at that time, could not allow, because the whole purpose of the war was to dominate and control the resources of the South. And they knew, the radical Republican, Marxist Republicans knew, that if the South was brought back in as if they had never left, their legislatures would come in and the radical Republicans would be out of office in a heartbeat. And so Lincoln was assassinated by his own folks. I mean, it's pretty concise information. I've actually done several Substacks on that.
Interesting. And how does John Wilkes Booth fit into that?
Well, John Wilkes Booth had actually been used at one time to kidnap Abraham Lincoln. I mean, they had brought him on, maybe some of the forces in the Confederate, I'm not sure. But anyway, there was a plan to kidnap Lincoln and to hold Lincoln as a hostage, as a bargaining tool for the South. Well, but it didn't work out. So then, you know, when Lincoln suddenly switches and he wants to bring Judge Campbell, I'm sorry, it just came into my head. He wanted to contact Judge Campbell and he wanted to bring it back. Well, the telling thing was, there was a gentleman that was head of the National Police, which later became the Secret Service, and his name, I'm trying to think of it right now. Anyway, it'll pop in my head in a minute. But anyway, he went to the Secretary of War when he got the return telegram from Judge Campbell to Lincoln saying, sure, let's get together, let's make this happen, let's bring our country back together again. Oh, his name was Lafayette Baker. I'm sorry. So Lafayette Baker goes to the Secretary of War, Stanton, and he says, look, I've got this message for the president. And he said, do you want me to take it to him? Now, this is all in the National Archives. And so Edwin Stanton says, no, I don't want that telegram to get back to the president. And so Lafayette Baker in his own notes says, okay, well, who's going to tell Lincoln? And the reply was very ominous. He said, we'll let Satan tell him.
Wow.
So, and that it was in Lafayette Baker's official notes. Now, Lafayette Baker later was assassinated because of what he knew. But again, we don't study history in America, Dave. We go to social studies.
Yes, well, that sounds like tying up loose ends. And again, the song remains the same. There's nothing new under the sun. The same methodology is being applied today. And, you know, it's amazing. We were going to talk about Harry Dexter White.
That was, oh, yeah.
Because I heard you with Blackbird 9 talking about that, and it brought up a lot of questions for me that I wanted to go into. But, of course, we spent most of the show already shucking and jiving, so to speak, but in a good way. And, well, I'll have to have you come back on to talk about Harry Dexter White because it's so interesting. And, you know, this goes back to this incredible communist infiltration of the Roosevelt administration, you know, prior to World War II. And of course, you know, I looked it up. Harry Dexter White just happens to be Jewish.
Nothing
wrong with that. So from Lithuania, that's where his family's from. But, you know, Mike, it's just amazing. I see Harry Dexter White as kind of like a linchpin of the communist infiltration, you know, communist, triple brackets, infiltration of the Roosevelt administration and how they really worked to trick America to get into this war that was extremely unpopular. And, you know, I learned from Day of Deceit, you know, that the prior to Pearl Harbor, 80% of the American public was against America getting involved in World War II.
Yes.
And so they needed this false flag. That sounds familiar. 9/11, you know, same kind of thing. So I was really fascinated by your conversation about Harry Dexter White and his incredible role as a communist and a spy inside the Roosevelt administration.
Well, he wrote Operation Snow. Now, Stalin definitely controlled FDR, but there were over 250 communists in FDR's administration. And White was Jewish. He was one of them. Morgenthau was another Jew. He was in charge of it. Morgenthau was Secretary of Treasury. We always seem to have a Jew in that position. He was he was, you know, starting with none other than the great Alexander Hamilton. I said that facetiously. But anyway, but anyway, you have that that seems that constant thread. And Hull, I think, was the actual Secretary of State. And he was very upset that he, even in a memo, said, I have really no power. Harry Dexter White is the, Morgenthau is, in effect, the Secretary of State. And we look at that. So Stalin was in big trouble. I know we're running out of time, Dave, so we'll need to do this perhaps on another program. Maybe we can it on the Rebel and the Renegades at some time.
This is a teaser.
Yes. Okay. Ahead, we'll throw out that teaser for sure. And then let's not forget, I'm not going to name him right now, but when we get a chance to do this, let's not forget that the man who had an office in the White House for 6 years, who was not on the staff, he was nothing, he had no legal position whatsoever. Why did FDR keep a Marxist, a Stalin guy, in the White House for 6 years?
Yeah, that's amazing, Mike. And the whole story of World War II doesn't add up in so many different ways. And the idea that, you know, we essentially propped up communism, we defended communism, we fought for communism in World War II. Sorry to say it, but that's really the truth. And then just a few years later, communism was the biggest threat to America.
Imagine that.
About face, you know, after we handed over all of Eastern Europe to Stalin, including half of Germany, but we won the war. How do you reconcile all this, Mike?
You can't. You can't. And that the whole thing is, and again, Americans are entertained to death. And, you know, the point of it is if you keep someone comfortable, they don't ask questions. And that is what's happening with the TV was brought about for that. Cell phones were brought about for that. Uh-oh, we out of time, buddy.
Oh, that's a great beginning, Mike. Thank you so much for coming on. You'll have to come
My pleasure, brother.
And we'll see you in 2 hours.
All right, buddy. Looking forward to it.
Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you, buddy.
The strange drift is hitchhike on the lone highway. Cheap motels and beer on the lone highway. Don't trust anyone on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.